Actually, if you need a title for this lesson tonight, it has to do with our walk with God. But I'd like to begin in this 10th chapter of Hebrews. And I'd like to begin reading in the 5th verse through the 9th verse. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, yes, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Burnt offerings, sacrifice, yes, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now, our lesson tonight is not particularly on the first and second last covenant of God, but I'd like for the purpose of our burden tonight for you to look at the 7th verse, lo, I come in the volume of the book, talking about the Bible, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. So, what this is saying is that the presence of Christ is in the volume of this book from Genesis 1 and 1 to Revelation, the Revelation 22 and 21. That the presence of Jesus is in the volume of this book. The presence of the Spirit of Christ has always been present. It has always been present from the very first when God spoke the world into existence until the last amen in Revelation 22 and 21. And his presence was in the form of the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is something we talk about in the Old Testament from the standpoint that even though Christ had not been given his body, he was given his body when Mary was conceived of a child by the Holy Ghost. God gave him a body. But his presence has always been there from the beginning of the world. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus' presence was always there. And oftentimes, the Lord Jesus will manifest his presence. His presence is such that there were deeds and there were circumstances and there were spiritual feats that were accomplished that no natural man could accomplish without the Spirit of Christ. Samson was one of those men. And the individual we're going to talk about was one of those men. And we'll probably mention a few more. But we're going to start with Enoch. I'd like for you to turn to the 5th chapter. Or rather, yeah, the 5th chapter of the book of Genesis. We want to talk a little bit about him, the life that he lived, and the times that he lived, and why what he accomplished was no normal feat. It was not something that was actually heard of before. Now, we're going to start, I believe, at the 22nd verse, and would you read through the 24th verse?
And Enoch walked with God,
yes,
and he began Methuselah.
Yes.
300 years.
Yes.
And begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years.
Yes.
And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
All right. So, did I say 22nd or 21st?
27.
Okay, I meant the 21st. I want to take that in also.
And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah.
All right. Actually, when we go by the era and the times, 65 years during that period was a pretty young age to start having children. If you account to some of the lives of many of the patriarchs, some of them were maybe 100, 200 years or less or more before they even had their first child. Now, I'm not going to go into this segment or sphere of the message on things I might have on my mind. As you know, Methuselah, might say that one of the old patriarchs was lived 969 years, and he was the son of Enoch. However, time has slowed down to the extent that in the book of Psalms, it lets us know that a man's years are going to be 70. Now, I'm no scientific figure, but I've always had it in my mind, and I have read certain things that I'm not going to go in right now of a scientific nature that brings out that time was more accelerated at the beginning of time, and time is slowing down as far as what is going on out in the universe that can be measured. It appears that time is actually chronologically slowing down. That time moved at an accelerated pace at first. People can talk about the Big Bang, and I really understand more about it. I've looked into it a little bit more, Stephen Hawking and such, not my favorite subject. But when God spoke the world into existence, according to the measure of the scientific community, and I do take some of the things that they say with a grain of salt, time did move at a more accelerated pace. Now, I don't know how a man lived 969 years with the kind of body we have, but Jesus knows.
Yeah.
In any event, time was different then. Regardless of the measure of time, and the fact that Enoch was 65 years, we know that God miraculously caused Abraham to father a child when he was 99 years old. So we know God can do what he wants to.
Yes.
He can do it in a time and season that he desires. And so when Enoch was 65 years old, he begat a son by the name of Methuselah. And then after the birth of Methuselah, from the time he was 65 years old to the time that he was 365 years old, he walked with God.
Yes.
Now, this is the only notation that we, rather the very first notation that we have where it is specified that a particular man began to walk with God. Now, his father had the name of Jared, J-A-R-E-D, and there was nothing outstanding, as we know historically, about the life of Jared. He's just a common man, and he begat this young man. We have no record at all of him teaching and educating his son into who God was, how to live for God, how to walk with God. It just so happens that there are at least two men that we know of that seem to have gotten special revelations from God, and I would say it was on their request that they received such revelations. People do not receive special inspirations from God to attain to anything spiritually unless they ask.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fall out of heaven upon us. It's something that individual personally petitions God and looks to God and has it on their heart and mind so strongly that they wake up with it on their mind. It's on their mind all through the day. It's on their mind all night long because God seems to put it on their heart. But the fact is, folks, that God puts things on many people's hearts all through the generations of time. But everyone doesn't act on it. This man acted on it. Just like Abraham acted on a revelation and a voice that spoke to him and said, this is the only and one true God that's talking to you, Abraham. And he gave him instructions. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And Abraham obeyed step by step all that the Lord told him. As I say, there was nothing outstanding or specific about Enoch's father. And we know we don't have very much said about Methuselah, except he lived the longest years that any man did live. We don't know of anything that he accomplished. But we do know he lived a long life. And so we know from living for the Lord as long as we have, whether it's a few weeks, a few days, or whether it's several years, we know that there is such a thing as quality time. And I would say that Enoch got an understanding of quality time. Quality time with God. As the Lord dealt with him, and the desire and the appetite grew in his heart and mind, as his appetite was whetted for spiritual things, and he began to commune with God, and God began to commune with him, and he opened his heart wider and wider and wider, and he said one thing or another aside, whatever it is that would have hindered him in a normal fashion, perhaps it was the cares of this life. Enoch was a married man. He begat children, so he had a wife. He had a home. He had normal cares, very likely as you and I have. Maybe on a different scale, maybe not as specific as ours, but he still had cares. Yeah. He had a family to provide for. He had other things on his mind, and there were things that could have crowded out his mind when the Lord began to talk to him. But Enoch wouldn't have any of it. When an individual lives the kind of life that is recorded in this book of the Bible, we know of a certain there was no special prodding according to history. We have no record of no certain prodding that was done or given to Enoch to cause him to make up his mind he was going to walk with God. We do know, I think it's 4 and maybe 26, that Seth begat Enos. We know what happened after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that every man that was born after that was born in the image of Adam. That is, with a corrupt, fleshly, more worldly mind. That's how they were born. There was a corruption in their character, in their mind, their thoughts. They were not born with the same moral proddings that Adam and Eve had. Adam and Eve were born in the image, in the moral image of God himself. Yes. That's one of the reasons why they had no excuse at all for what was done. And because they were in a presence that there was actually nothing around to influence them or encourage them to go in a different direction other than the voice of God. And he's always going to be there. How could a man prove his loyalty and service to God if he did not have another choice? So God always provides a way for a man to work with him and deal with him such that that man can never say, well, I had no choice. I had to live for you. I had to serve you. What else could I do? You have a choice. And we're here because we made a wise choice. And many millions others that have gone on to their reward made wise choices. Thank God. for everyone that has the boldness and the courage to make a wise choice. There are so many optional things around for a man to choose with his time, with his mind, with his energy.
Yeah.
We can choose to be somewhere else. We can choose to have something else on our mind.
Yeah.
But thinking of Thee, O Lord of Thee, that's what we're doing. Musing on things above. Till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love. That's our choice.
Yeah.
That's our desire. So Enoch made some light choices. And frankly, I find nothing to compare in my life with the life of Enoch. But I also find that I have access by faith to whatever Enoch had. I understand that. And whatever encumbrances might be, then it's my job, by God's grace, to move those encumbrances out of the way. Because Enoch had no greater advantage in his generation than you and I have in this generation that we live. It may seem so. Oh, Lord, there's so many evils around. Lord, you know what's going on in the Supreme Court. You know how evil this world, how corrupt everything is. I don't think God gives that as an excuse to us. God help us. Now, I would have you tonight to take this message as a challenge and an encouragement to recognize that whatever anyone in this Bible, this mortal man had, whatever they had access to, we have greater access to even today. The blood of Jesus had not been spilt for him, but in his heart, it had been. Why do you say that? Abel. Jesus' blood wasn't spilt, but by faith, he offered a sacrifice. By faith, he was endeavoring to touch the very heart of God, and he did touch God's heart, and he made the type of sacrifice that would have been likened to believing in a sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. Jesus hadn't done it yet, but he was a lamb slain before, or maybe it said from. I don't want to wrest the scriptures. He was slain from the foundation of the world. It was by faith that his sacrifice was more excellent than his brother Cain's. And whatever sacrifices that Enoch made to bring him to the place where God chose. I doubt if Enoch asked. This is me talking. This isn't scripture. This isn't history that I've read. I doubt if he asked God to translate him. I believe God let him know that's what he was going to do. And he was walking so close to God and his life was so likened to the Spirit of Christ that the Lord translated him. I don't know if it was such that the world wasn't worthy of this type of man that was living in the era and epoch that he did. I don't know that. But it could have been. All right. We're going to go on with our thought just a little bit more. So Enoch, and I believe the word means dedicated. Enoch walked with God. Again, with no apparent advantages in his generation than we have now. If anything, sin had not, we can't say it just developed to the point it did when Noah, one of the forebears of Enoch, Enos, Seth, it was had not accelerated in wickedness. That's true. But we also don't have any other record to let us know that this was a spiritually thriving time. it appears, if we look at church history, the spiritually thriving times is when the church is under great persecution. And we have no record of that. So without any special pressure laid upon him, he was able to fight through, and we all have to fight in our minds. He was able to fight through the distracting things of this life and get a hold of God to the extent that he was commended for walking with God.
Yes, thank the Lord.
All right? He wasn't the... we're going to talk a little bit more about him. I'd like to talk about some of the characteristics that he had to have had. The scripture, 1 John 1 and 9, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins that had to have been a part of it.
Yes.
He's walking in light. In other words, there was nothing that God introduced to his mind that he spurned. There was nothing that the Lord introduced to his mind, whether it was through a prayer, whether it was through a testimony, a message, however the Lord communicated. However it was, whatever came to his heart via God, he accepted it. And he worked on it and worked with it until he reached what he understood to be a place of perfection with God. Walking in the light. The scripture says, I think it's 12th chapter of John. I'm not quite sure the verse. 12, 30, maybe. I'm not quite sure right now. John 12. Yes, 35. Is that 35? Okay, would you read it?
Then Jesus said unto them,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Walk while ye have the light.
Yes.
Let darkness come upon you.
Yes.
For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes.
Yes.
While ye have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light.
Yes. Yes. All right. In case I forget and don't give out all that the Lord gave me, which is not unusual, I'm going to say this much. According to the Word of God, all that it takes for you and I to get a closer walk with God, we're not emulating Enoch or any of the prophets, but the fact is that we have a privilege to walk closer to God than what we are. We have the privilege.
That's right.
And the scripture says, ask, simple ask, and it shall be given you. We are living in an age and time where people are shunning the light that God shines on their pathway and justifying the fact that they're not walking in the light of God's eternal word of truth by proclaiming that they have some other light that's entered into their heart. It's sad. It's very, very sad. But you cannot choose your way to heaven unless we go by way of the word of God and walk in the light as the Lord reveals it to your heart and mind, then you're not going to have any part with him. God help us now.
Yeah.
Why? How was that? Because walk in the light, less what? Darkness is coming. You're not going to have the same knowledge and understanding about God's truth that you once had once you fail to walk in the light. Because that's rebellion. That's backing up on God. My soul has no pleasure in him that draw back. Thank you. Draw back. If we draw back, we draw back to perdition, to being lost.
Yeah.
So God help us. It's a very dangerous thing. It's a very serious thing that when God gives us light, you may not be able to conform completely that same day, but from that very moment that God reveals it to our hearts, we're working that way. Working on it, going that way, whatever it takes to lay aside, that's what I'm willing to do. That's the heart of a child of God. We are living in an age, not only are many failing to walk in the light, they're not asking for any more light. They don't want to know anymore. They would just as soon be willing to be ignorant. But when you are willing to be and desire to be ignorant, that's knowledge in itself. You happen to know that whatever light God has for you is going to take even a greater sacrifice than what He's called on you. And there's an unwillingness in the age that we live in to walk in the light of God's eternal word of truth. And again, to simplify matters, we can ask. We can ask with our whole heart. Not so we can appear to be pious, appear to be spiritual. What is that anyway? God help us. We're asking because God put it on our heart and we want to please God. Because if he had a testimony at all from God, it was that he pleased him.
Yes, that's true.
We don't know specifically whether he had any gifts or callings, whether he was a good speaker, whether he sang like an angel, or whether he spoke with a lisp, whether he did charitable acts, what kind of prayer life he had. We don't have any notation of that. But again, whatever he did, he pleased God. And as they say, that's the bottom line. He's the one that we have to please.
Yeah.
He pleased God. His life pleased the Lord. Thank God. And I'm glad that we have the same privilege that he had in his age. All right. Sixth chapter of Genesis, and maybe that's the ninth verse. Let's read that for a moment. There's another man that walked with God.
These are the generations of Noah.
Yes.
Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation.
Yes. Thank the Lord.
Yes. And Noah begat three sons.
Yes.
Shem, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God.
Yes.
The earth was filled with violence.
Amen. Now this man had a... I beg your pardon. If you didn't finish, please finish. Yes, you can.
And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt.
Yes. All right, that's good. I just wanted to bring out another example of a man that walked with God. Now, he wasn't translated, but he walked with God, and God could trust him with plans of the ark, and God could trust him being responsible to see that that ark was built according to his pattern, and he brought it to pass. He was a man that had enough patience that he can wait on for 120 years for the Lord to finish all that he desired. And what God desired was to demonstrate his long suffering to mankind. It was a long suffering of God that waited in the time of Noah. I believe that's 1 Peter, maybe the first chapter. I'm not quite sure where. But it was his long suffering that waited, hoping, desiring so very much that someone's heart would be pricked, that someone would believe the gospel, believe the word of God, the good news. Oh, it's going to rain. Oh, that's not such good news. Well, the good news is God has made a way for everyone to be saved in the time of this rain. God has made a way for it to come to pass. And if you are really interested in your soul and in your family's souls, I'll let you know something about what kind of boat to make for yourself and your whole family and your whole block of family, whoever it is that believes the word of God and will prepare themselves, well then, arrangements can be made. But the Lord knew. The Lord knew no one would hear his word. And of course, we understand there was only one ark. There was only one plan God had. And it represents the one salvation, the gospel truth that God has brought forth to everyone and whosoever will. And so, here we have another man that walked with God. He was a good man. He had to have been a good man to have borne the things that, now here again, we don't know exactly what all he endured. But I can imagine there was a lot of scornful things said to him. A lot of humiliating things said to him. A lot of condescending statements made to him to cause him to feel like he just as well just give up the task. Doesn't make sense anyway. But he stayed with God, with what God revealed to his heart to do, and it caused he and his entire family to be saved. And so God help us and encourage us that we continue to walk in the light as he shines it on our pathway. Because it means everything. It meant Moses, or rather it meant Noah salvaging his family. And so it can mean not only our family, but many other families, if we'll all just continue to walk in the light of God's eternal word of truth. All right, reading on a little bit more. We know something about the man Enoch, and it didn't say that Enoch was a perfect man in his generation, but I don't guess we have to read between too many lines to recognize and know that his level of holiness and righteousness before God was outstanding. It was not a common day thing, and he was not a common era man. It was someone that God put his finger on, and he responded. He responded. Has God ever touched you? Has God ever given you a special kind of a touch? God help us. God does that. Some things we know that happen in our lives, and we can't explain it any other way except it's God's finger. It's something special. Something special that happened. It seemed like, appeared like God went out of his way to open our hearts and understanding to know this is me dealing in this matter. This isn't just a coincidence. This isn't just something that happened. This is me endeavoring to get you to comply with the plan I have for your life, because your life and the plan that I have and the obedience to that plan could mean the salvation of many souls. So God help us. God encourage us as we go through this life. I think we can very easily say that he had to have walked in the light. And I think we can very easily say that he had to walk in the Spirit of Christ. Let's say the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost was always... He was with men. The Spirit of God was with men, but he was not in men because the vessel wasn't clean enough for the Spirit of God to abide in a man, for Jesus and Christ to come in and abide with him. The man, that's why there was a need for sacrifices and offerings to substitute for what eventually would be the coming of Christ. All right, we can know of a certainty that he had to walk humbly with God. He didn't feel himself to be somebody special. He wasn't looking around trying to compare himself with anybody else. He just felt like God placed a burden on his heart, and he felt like he had to be faithful to that burden. That's how God deals with all of us. God deals with us all in such a way. I don't know what all God is dealing with you about. I don't know how God is leading you. I don't know all your gifts and callings, but I know everybody has some. And what God desires of us is that we respond to him in a very positive way and carry out the plan that he'll unfold to us. He may not tell it all to us at once, but when we go one day at a time, one step at a time, and we do the will of God, then it begins to piece itself together, and then we are assured that whatever it is, it's something that's going to be a blessing and benefit to my soul. And so God help us and God encourage us that we take those steps. Maybe they're little baby steps. However it is, I don't know what your gate is. Some of us maybe don't make long strides, but walk a little fast, kind of move a little fast where people have to kind of keep up with you. Some make long strides, especially a man, a long-legged man. He can make long strides to where you almost have to run to keep up with him too. But however, God knows the pace that he would have us to go. And if we just take those steps that the Spirit of the Lord is leading and guiding us. There may have been times when the Lord talked to Enoch and he would have desired, it was a temptation for him to go and tell someone, you know, this is what God said to me. What do you think about that? You know, if God wasn't dealing with that man like he was dealing with you, he would think he was probably foolish. Sometimes, God help us, I don't know that Enoch had anybody to confer with. Paul was in a state, and Paul was in a season and period, and God's dealings with him was such, maybe it's first chapter of Galatians, maybe 15, 16 verse, he knew the disciples, he had met the disciples, and he had nothing between he and the disciples that would cause him not to have confidence in them. But he did not confer with them because God had given him something specific to do, and he did it. And he knew if he had, the burden that the Lord gave the disciples was different than the burden that God gave Paul. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. And he carried it out, I would say, almost to perfection. What he accomplished in the Gentile world was above and beyond what any of the other disciples could have done. God help us. He had a different kind of mind. He had a different kind of background. Even God converted him in a different type of way than anyone else. In his personal relationship with God, who he testified whose I am and whom I serve, he saw to it that he kept in close contact with God's dealings and the Spirit of God, and he did what the Lord told him to do. And sometimes it was not wisdom for him to confer with flesh and blood. And did someone get that scripture? Did I give it right?
Yes.
Yes.
But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen.
Yes. Yes.
But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days.
Amen.
But other of the apostles I saw none,
yes,
saving James, the Lord's brother.
Amen.
Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God,
yes,
I lie not. Afterwards I came unto the regions of Syria and Cilicia,
yes,
which was unknown by faith,
yes,
unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And they glorify God in me.
All right, thank the Lord. Now, I'm not discouraging you for seeking for counsel and advice. And I don't want you to take it that way because that's not on my heart. I'm just saying, sometimes in God's dealings, he is so plain and he's so explicit. And sometimes we feel like we just have to have somebody else to find out if this is really God. And God wants us to get to the place where we know his voice.
Yes.
And that our relationship with him is such that we can trust and have confidence in when God speaks to us. What the song said, number 290, I know the sweet sound of his voice. I'm sure Enoch had to learn the sweet sound of the voice of God. Otherwise, he would have turned to the right or the left, never would have reached the goal. We never would have been able to read this account in the Word of God and get encouragement and inspiration that God is calling for his people to seek for a closer walk with God. I believe it was Brother Chandler, the priest, the message. Excuse me. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure I heard a portion of it at some time early on. Brother Williams, Sister Gladys, Doolittle had messages. Anyway, I'm sure I heard it at some time. But one of the things he said, in the periods and times when spirituality is not at a high ebb, and there are times like that, if you follow the history of the church, there are times like that in down through the annals of time. And today, not criticizing our times, this is This is one of the most challenging times. Yeah. You might think, well, I really would have rather lived when Jesus walked with me. Well, no. You can walk with Jesus now.
Yeah.
You see? We can walk with him now. And we want to see it just like that. I would have liked to have heard him speak. You can hear him speak. You can hear him speak to your heart. And it'd be just as real as Peter, James, and John. And all the other 12 disciples. But he spoke that in times when spirituality was at a low ebb, about the only gifts that would be manifest would be the gifts of prophecy. That's preachers. God help us. God help us. It's quite possible that we may be in one of those times. May God help us. Does that give us any special excuses? No. We can't excuse ourselves. We can't put it off on somebody else. I'm here. I'm alive. I have my own mind. I have a service that belongs to the Master. God help us. Is this too tight? God help us. We'll pray for us. All right. So, he had to learn to depend on God's word. And he had to learn how to walk humbly with God. Micah 6 and 8, you showed the old man what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Number 298 in our song book, he will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble thyself to walk with God. With God. You know, there are many, many songs and scriptures that tell us to walk in the path of the Lord, walk in the ways, walk in the old way, and so forth. And so on. But I'm especially concerned tonight about walking with God. It all means, it'll all equate out to the very same thing. But in the sense of the burden that the Lord has laid on my heart, I'd like to concentrate on our having a greater desire to walk with Him. Song in our song book, number 500. My dearest friend is Jesus. Now we walk together because we can agree. So there must be a point of submission in our life, and there must have been a point of submission that Enoch had to make. I'm sure he came up against what we would consider a brick wall. There were times when he wasn't quite sure, but he stood where he was until he got clear directions from God. He wouldn't move out unless he knew that the Lord was dictating to him, all right, now it's time for you to move on. Now, God, help us. The Lord, encourage us along the way. We can meet some very challenging times in our life and experience with God. But that does not mean that we cannot walk with Him. Not behind Him, but with Him. We walk together. How can two walk together except they be agreed, excuse me. And so there is some submission that we're going to have to give over into the hands of God. We may still be fighting some things. Lord, I'm trying to submit myself to it. I just don't quite see it. Lord, help me. But God, help us to get to the place. You know, the faster we can get to those places, the more we can move on for God. So Lord, bless us and encourage us. Along the way, we all have our temptations, and we all have things about ourselves that cause us perhaps to hesitate a little too long about something that we know God is requiring. May the Lord put a more lively step in us as we go on and walk this narrow way, because time is just not as long as it used to be. Not just for the world, but our time. We just don't really know. We just don't know what age we're going to live here. Most of us aspire and take for granted that we're going to live to at least 70. Many people didn't make it to 70. And many more will not. But God help us to use the time that He has allotted us. to walk with him. All right, we're going to read on a little bit more. I'm not going to give you all the scriptures I have. I didn't write all the scriptures down. There's so many. Maybe I just want to encourage and whet your appetite to do some seeking yourself that way. But I'd like to like to mention a few more. Scripture says walk in love. I don't know about you. Other than Christ, I don't know any greater challenge of a picture of the love of God than reading the book of Hosea.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know any greater challenge. Hosea was a prophet, minor prophet. God called him to preach. And God told him that he wanted him to marry a harlot. Now God help us. And what God was trying to do, now this man had to have some willingness that I don't know. I don't know a lot of women that want to marry some disreputable man. I mean a saintly man, a saintly woman. I don't know any, and I don't think anyone would advise you to. But God was trying to show a picture here. He was trying to show them, the children of Israel, how much he loved them, how much he cared for them. And so he married a harlot, had children by the harlot, had them give them special names. And in the end, he just continued. The woman was unfaithful to him, and he stayed with that woman. He stayed with that woman. God help us. And what are you saying? I'm saying that's how sometimes souls are with God. They commit spiritual adultery, go off somewhere else, they rebel against him, and he still continues to love. Walk in love. I don't know the extent of your love, and I really don't know the extent of mine. I just know when the crunch times come, God wants us to walk so close to him that we'll be ready. We'll be ready to manifest the love of Christ. May God help us. May God encourage us as we press on our way to glory. The song said our journey won't be long. At its very longest, it won't be long. Through trials and tribulations is the way he takes us home. So that's the only account that I know of like that in the Bible. But I know it's rather amazing that a man would be love the Lord that much to actually do what the scripture says he did. God help us. As I say, that is not a pattern for any young man or woman to follow after. At the same time, it is a great demonstration of the love of God. All right. A little bit more. Moses certainly accomplished great feats for God through the Spirit of Christ. It was through Christ's Spirit. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't Moses' natural self. God endowed him with some power and authority to do the things that he did. No human man anywhere could have done what Moses did without some divine assistance from God. And he had God's assistance and he carried it out. Even though he had his flaws, he had his defects, and he did wrong in the eyes of God. God still loved him. God forgave him. But he still would not permit him to go into Canaan land. But God honored him enough to where he told him where to go. And God buried him himself. So God honored him in the end and would not allow the devil to have a say after his demise. He wouldn't allow the devil to have a say in it. He was my child and you have nothing to do with the devil. So it is. It doesn't matter how many times we don't quite come up to par with the Lord, God still has a love and a kindness. And if we keep some kind of desire in there to do right by God and do as much as we possibly can to please him, of course, we all want a testimony of pleasing God. God help us. Not that we're aspiring for it, but if we walk the walk, and we allow the Lord to work in our life, I believe we will please him.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. I think I'd like to end with requesting a song. Number 192. I would like you to sing that song. I believe I'm finished. And I trust these few words will be an encouragement and an inspiration for you. And I'd like for you again to keep in mind that Enoch, Moses, Job, they had no special advantage in the era that they lived in than we have today. So God help us to avail ourselves of the things that He desires for us to have in our walk with God. Pray for me.